Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 It's very nice to be here with you all today. It's very nice that you all came. I see some of you have come from some distances away also. Thank you very much for taking the trouble. We're going to read today a verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 33. So read the verse and read the purport by Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, and then the questions sheet will be circulating around. So if you have any questions, feel free to just write them down. It's completely anonymous, so you don't have to worry about asking the wrong question, feeling awkward or anything. You can just express yourself as you would like to, and shortly we'll try to answer those questions. But for the time being, we're going to read this verse in chapter 4, text 35. Oh, wait a minute. 33. Oh, this is a little slightly technical verse. For those of you who are more spiritually, technically minded. Shreyan Dravya Mayad Yajyaj Jnana Yajya Parantapa Sarvam Karma Kilam Parta Jnane Pari Samapyate. Translation. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Prita, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. And it purports by our spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The purpose of all sacrifices is to arrive at the status of complete knowledge, then to gain release from material miseries, and ultimately to engage in loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna consciousness. Nonetheless, there is a mystery about all these different activities of sacrifice. And one should know this mystery. Sacrifices sometimes take different forms according to the particular faith of the performer. When one's faith reaches the stage of transcendental knowledge, the performer of sacrifices should be considered more advanced than those who simply sacrifice material possessions without such knowledge. For, without attainment of knowledge, sacrifices remain on the material platform and bestow no spiritual benefit. Real knowledge culminates in Krishna consciousness, the highest stage of transcendental knowledge. Without the elevation of knowledge, sacrifices are simply material activity. When, however, they are elevated to the level of transcendental knowledge, all such activities enter onto the spiritual platform. depending on differences in consciousness. Sacrificial activities are sometimes called karma kanda, fruit of activities, and sometimes jnana kanda, knowledge in the pursuit of truth. It is better when the end is knowledge. I think that's very interesting. A little technical, but very interesting. Shreyan dravya mayad yagyaj, jnana yagya parantapa, sarvam karma kilam parta, jnane pari samapyate. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Prita, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. Om Jnanatam Randasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Statipam Yena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Pradashi Swapa Anchikalpa Karubhya Stag Kriva Sindhu Vyena Cha Adidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, this chapter is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. This is the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And it's particularly explaining in different ways, from different perspectives, the importance of spiritual knowledge and even of different types of spiritual knowledge, in terms of different categories of spirit or different levels of spiritual being and spiritual entity. So that might sound a little esoteric, perhaps a little complicated, something like that. And it is. It is something quite deep. Spiritual knowledge is something quite deep. And unfortunately, our minds are prone, when it comes to spiritual things, often to be a little shallow. That experience we have, that people's concepts of what is spiritual, what is spiritual life, what are spiritual activities, tends to be a little vague, not clear. Just as an example, in the Bible, there's one verse there. There's one verse, I imagine many of you would have heard that verse, particularly if you're from a Christian background. There's one verse which says, what is the profit? What is the gain? What is the value? What is the profit for a person if he gains the whole world but loses his eternal soul? Perhaps you've heard that before. So in other words, in principle at least, we can understand that the soul, or that which is spiritual, spirit, is something extremely valuable and extremely important, that it's so valuable that if you just lose your soul, what to speak of the fact that there are many souls. We are all spirit souls, actually. So, if you just lose your spiritual life, your spiritual nature, spiritual position becomes undermined and taken away, stolen away, then even if you gain somehow or other this entire material world, this whole planet, and with all its wealth and opulence, but still you'll be a loser. So how important is the soul? How important is spirit? How important is spiritual life? Extremely important. But unfortunately, generally, if we ask someone, please give us a definition, a clear description of what is spirit as distinct from matter. What are the special characteristics of the soul, of that which is spiritual? Then, oftentimes, we draw blank faces. That's the only response we get. People generally don't know. What is the soul? Where is the soul? What does the soul look like? What color is the soul? Is the soul male, female, neither, both, or, what is this thing? I think you would appreciate, even just by now, just by saying those few things, that we're not very clear, generally, on what is spirit, what is spiritual, and what is the soul, that spiritual entity. Yes, so of course that information is there. In Bhagavad Gita, that information is there, and this is one part of that transcendental knowledge which Lord Krishna is discussing here in this fourth chapter. Another aspect of spiritual knowledge which Lord Krishna is discussing in this fourth chapter is a knowledge about the supreme transcendental entity, the supreme spirit, the supreme soul, that is God. And again, generally people are they're not clear on God. Who is God? Where is God? What is God's address? What does he look like? Generally people don't know. And at best they have some vague idea, or they may not even really have any idea. Some people say that God is light. Yes, God is light. Some people say that we are all God. Have you heard that? Yes. That includes you. How would it be if you were God? I mean, it wouldn't be very good, would it? Because, you, with all due respect, even though you may have your abilities to some extent, but on that level, creating, maintaining the universe, I don't think you could manage that. Even though you might be able to do certain things. Yeah, so if we're all God, then it means we have a problem on our hands, or many problems on our hands, because we all have problems. So who is God? What does he look like? How tall is he? What is his age? Things like this, which are very simple details when it comes to considering any individual. What is his name? Yeah. These are very simple matters when it comes to understanding a person. You can go a lot deeper than that, than just knowing what is a person's name, where do they live, what do they look like. You can go a lot deeper. What is their personality like? What are they like as individuals on a deeper level? So, in this fourth chapter then of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is also talking about that. There's another aspect of transcendental knowledge about the Supreme Soul, about Krishna, God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there is here knowledge also about transcendental knowledge about different types of activities, spiritual activities. So, here particularly, Lord Krishna, in this verse 33 of the fourth chapter, Lord Krishna is discussing very important aspect of transcendental knowledge. That is knowledge about sacrifice. sacrifice is generally accepted as being a very important part of spiritual life. I think you would know, whatever your background might be, spiritually or religiously, whether you be from an African background, those of you who are, and I assume probably most of you would know anyway, that when it comes to the traditional African religious processes, then sacrifice is a very integral part, right? Yes, it is. If you're a Christian, if you're from a Christian background, then you would know that sacrifice is a very important part of Christianity. After all, one of the great sort of rallying calls, so to speak, in that particular tradition, is how Christ sacrificed his life. Yeah, it was very practically the cornerstone of the whole thing, at least for many people. Yeah, so sacrifice, very important thing. And then in Islam, they also sacrifice is there. The concept, the principle of sacrifice. In Hinduism, popular Hinduism, then sacrifice of different types is a very integral part. So I think you'll find, if you examine practically any religious process, that sacrifice is a very important part of it. And here, in Krishna consciousness also, then sacrifice is also one of these very fundamental principles, very basic, essential principles. Yes. Which adds life and adds depth and substance to one's attempts in spiritual life. So, even if we analyze further in beyond religious life and beyond spiritual life, if we just look out in the world at large, amongst the people in general, then we'll see that sacrifice as such is a very basic and perhaps practically fundamental aspect of life. I'm just talking in a material sense, very, very ordinary day-to-day sense. Sacrifice. For example, tomorrow is Monday. You all know what Monday is like, those of you who are working. You've all heard about Monday morning blues, isn't it? I saw once a Peanuts cartoon. Not that I really, you know, sort of make a habit of following Charlie Brown or Snoopy, but somehow, I forget how, one day, I saw one cartoon of Peanuts, and in it was the dog. That's Snoopy, isn't it? Yeah, okay. And it was the dog. Okay, there he was, Snoopy. So it was like, there was seven boxes in the cartoon, seven stages. Each one was for a day. Right. Or maybe there was 18. So the first one was Monday. There was Snoopy. He was just about dead. I mean, not really dead, but he was disturbed, put it that way. He was in anxiety. He was not happy. Then there was Tuesday, and it was much the same. Then Wednesday, and he's sort of like improving fractionally. Then Thursday, and things were picking up quite strongly. Then there was Friday. Oh, gosh. He was just dancing. Then Saturday, and he was really relaxing in a big way. Some serious relaxing was going on. Then there was Sunday, and he was looking a little sort of, you know, apprehensive. And then there's Monday again, he was finished. So we all know, Monday's coming tomorrow, perhaps I shouldn't remind you. That is reality. Yes. So, you know, on Monday, or Tuesday, any day, generally, you would prefer, if you were able, you would prefer to just be able to relax, isn't it? You would prefer that. Who is looking at their watch thinking, you know, only so many hours to go and I can go back to the office or factory and, you know, you're looking forward to it? I don't think so. No. And then you have to work all day, 5 days a week, some maybe six or even seven perhaps in some cases. And you have to work hard. We hear complaints about this so much. So, what does that mean? It means that when you go to work, you are making a sacrifice. Yeah. You are sacrificing your time. You are sacrificing your energy. You are sacrificing your mind, your peace of mind, or, you know, you're sacrificing a lot. Yes. It's a sacrifice. Because sacrifice means that you give something up. Something which otherwise you would much rather hold on to, but you don't. You give it up. That is the idea of sacrifice. Giving something which is, you know, like important to you, giving it up. So, it is a fact, actually. It is simply a reality of life. That when you go to work, you are making a sacrifice. Other than a few, you know, workaholic, successful types. You know, the others who are just basically making a living. Then you all know it's a sacrifice. It's hard work. It's not fun. It's a sacrifice. And if you didn't, now we're saying here that actually sacrifice is an essential part of life. It is not just a religious phenomenon, some sort of or aspect of religion, but sacrifice is a part of life. Because you know, if you don't sacrifice and go to work, if you don't sacrifice your time and energy and so on, and go to work and put up with it all, put up with the boss and your co-workers and all your probably rather uninteresting tasks, if you don't do that, then in a while your life will deteriorate. Yes. You won't have any money. Yes. You will eventually lose your house. You won't be able to feed yourself or afford clothes. And then you'll die. If you don't sacrifice. Yeah. So if we consider from this point of view, then we see that sacrifice is a very basic and essential part of reality. It is not just that we believe, you know, the Hare Krishnas believe, or even that religious people believe that sacrifice is something important. This is going beyond just belief. Like I may believe in God, but you may not believe in God. I may believe there's a soul, you may not, or you may think there's something else. We're not here talking about a belief. We're simply talking about reality. That's all. Yes. We're simply talking about reality. Sacrifice is practically one of the most fundamental aspects of reality. And without it, then you fail. Your life becomes a failure. And then there's result. If you sacrifice, you go to work and you work hard, then there's a result from that sacrifice. You earn. So here, Lord Krishna is making a distinction, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is making a distinction between sacrifice, two different types of sacrifice, or even two different platforms from which you may perform sacrifice. And because the sacrifices are based on those platforms, therefore they're of different natures, and therefore the results are different. Here Lord Krishna is talking about sacrifice performed in knowledge, in transcendental knowledge. And sacrifice performed just on the material platform, just some sacrifice of work. just like working. That's a sacrifice of work without transcendental knowledge. So those two different types of sacrifice, they have two different types of results. One is simply material. One is simply material. And the other is transcendental. So the transcendental knowledge, this chapter of course is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. So Krishna is stressing here very much that the sacrifice performed in knowledge, in transcendental knowledge, is better. Yes, because the result of that sacrifice will also be transcendental. It will also be spiritual. So, of course, there are many people who make sacrifice on the material platform, like we mentioned working as a sacrifice. But then there are many people who sacrifice in like they sacrifice for humanity. Like you've heard of Mother Teresa from Calcutta. She sacrificed for the benefit of humanity. There are some people, they work for charitable organizations. Like, I have one friend of my family from long, all my life, close friends of my family in New Zealand. That particular family happens to be very wealthy, extremely wealthy. So this one particular young man, one of the sons, he has so much money he doesn't need to work. He probably has, you know, many times more than all of us put together. He doesn't need to work. So what does he do? He does charitable work. Yes. He does charitable work. He takes no pay, but he just does different things to help people. So you get some people and they sacrifice. They don't bother trying to make some big career, making big money, but they sacrifice for the benefit of humanity. Sometimes we're approached on the streets, people ask us to give some charity. Yes, so again, this is sacrifice. Yeah, but the point is that there are different results to different types of sacrifice. And particularly, even on the material platform, we make different types of sacrifices and there are different results. But particularly there's a difference between sacrifice on the material platform and sacrifice on the transcendental spiritual platform in spiritual knowledge. Just as an example, sometimes you are approached on the street by some sort of a street person, put it that way. Some poverty-stricken person who lives, who has no home. So they approach you, and sometimes, you know, you get these sort of alcoholic types, they approach you, and they ask you to give them a donation, generally for a loaf of bread. But, you know, oftentimes they use that money to buy more alcohol or methylated spirits. Sometimes, of course, and we've seen this, we used to have a place in Hillbrow, and a few of them used to congregate in the alley at the back. And some of them would buy a loaf of bread with the money, it's a fact, but they would use the bread to filter the methylated spirits. So they weren't entirely dishonest about it. So now, the thing is, that if you make that type of sacrifice, now obviously you are making a sacrifice in ignorance, because I don't think any decent person at least would make a sacrifice in order to facilitate such a person's, you know, sort of destroying their life any further than it may already be destroyed. No decent person would do that. They would refuse, or you know, maybe they would give the person some food, something like that. So that sacrifice then, given to such a person, in ignorance, which is then used in a certain way, your sacrifice is then utilized in a certain way. It brings a certain result to you, the person who made the sacrifice, as distinct from the result. You might have sacrificed that same money, perhaps, to a different person for a different cause, to a good cause. You know, it's a fact, according at least to the laws of karma in the Vedic scriptures, they state very the bad karma for the particular activity that your money was used for. Whereas if you gave the same money to some very good cause, which would actually help some person in some real way, then you would share in that. So, sacrifice is there, and there are different results of different types of sacrifice. Those results are on different levels, and even on the material level, but there are different types of results for different types of sacrifice on the material level. But if one makes a sacrifice on the transcendental platform, then one gets a transcendental result. That is something very important. That is something very wonderful. You know, sacrificing on the material platform will always produce a material result, be it good or bad, depending on the nature of the sacrifice. So, material platform means that the result that you will get will be temporary. Like tomorrow, so many of you are going to make that big sacrifice of going to work. And then you'll earn some money. But then that money will be in your possession only temporarily. However, Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, he explains the very different result of transcendental sacrifice or transcendental activity. Krishna explains that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 40. Krishna says, Neha vikramanashasti pratyavayana vidyate svapamapyasya dharamasya trayate mahato bayat. Krishna here is referring to sacrifice or activity performed on the transcendental spiritual platform in knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Krishna says, in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, there's a big difference. In this endeavor, Krishna says, there's no loss or diminution. The whatever result you get is never reduced. You know, when you make, as I said, your sacrifice tomorrow and you go to work and you earn, some of you tomorrow may earn 1,000 rands if you are from the sort of more affluent echelons of society. You may earn 1,000 rands tomorrow. Some of you may earn 50 rands, 30 rands, something like that. So that's more, you know, down in the direction at least of the red line or something like that. So, but even the person, someone, perhaps none of us, but someone tomorrow is probably going to earn 1,000,000 rands. Probably, somewhat. There are people like that, although they're quite rare. But probably, someone tomorrow will earn 1,000,000 rands. So now, obviously, we would think, oh, this person earning 1,000,000 rands, my gosh, that is just something quite amazing for most of us. However, you know, that 1,000,000 rands, in due course of time, it will be finished. We might think that, oh, if I earned 1,000,000 rands a day, gosh, that would be perfect. some people might think that we would have then attained success. The goal of life has been achieved, or something like that. But it's a fact that that money will eventually be finished. Even such a large amount will eventually be finished. But here, in the particular this verse we just referred to, Krishna is saying that if you perform this sacrifice on the transcendental platform, spiritual platform, transcendental means it's above and beyond the material nature. It's above and beyond the influences of material nature. So, in other words, it is not temporary. The results are not temporary. So, Krishna is saying, if you perform sacrifice in transcendental knowledge, a spiritual sacrifice in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you'll never lose the result. Then he says that even a little advancement can save you from the most dangerous type of death. Even if that advancement that you make, even if the result that you get spiritually was, say, you know, we're talking about earning 50 rands, 1,000, 1,000,000. Even if the advancement, so to speak, was transcendentally worth a spiritual 1 rand. That's not much. But the thing is that that will never be lost. And there's a natural result to that. There's a natural result. Part of the result of making sacrifice in spiritual life on the transcendental platform is that in the future you get further opportunities to perform more. So then your, so to speak, transcendental bank account increases a little bit more. And then you'll get a further opportunity. So you see, it is inevitably going to accumulate and accumulate. And even if it's at some point you stop your transcendental activity, your spiritual sacrifice, but still it's not like if you stop working. If you stop making the sacrifice of working, then you have to live on your accumulated savings, and gradually they will decrease and become eventually zero. So even if in spiritual life, if you stop your spiritual life for some time, somehow, and in that way you're not increasing, note this, no more spiritual sacrifice going on, you're not increasing your spiritual bank account, but that accumulated spiritual balance of spiritual assets, of spiritual advancement, Krishna's saying here, will never be lost. And then later on, maybe even in your next life, if again you begin your spiritual life, then you'll begin increasing your spiritual bank balance from the point that you left off at, not from point zero, or not that you, certainly not that you may go into debt. This is a very interesting aspect of our materialistic, capitalistic economic system, that someone may possess less than nothing. How can you possess less than nothing? There is nothing which is less than nothing. So this is an illusion, actually. But unfortunately, this illusion has become incorporated in our Western system. Anyway, so this is a very interesting point, that that sacrifice made on the spiritual platform, sacrifice on the basis of spiritual knowledge, has a very different result. Now, what is that sacrifice? What is the form of it? Well, that means that instead of working for your boss, instead of working for yourself or your family, that you sacrifice for Krishna. You work for Krishna. It can take different forms. You can sacrifice your time. You can sacrifice your life, actually. Just dedicate everything 100% to pleasing Krishna. Or you can sacrifice some of your time, maybe in your spare time on the weekend. You can come and do something, some service for Krishna. You can sacrifice some of your money. You can sacrifice some of your energy. So there are different forms, but the basic point is, or like in a detailed sense, various forms, but the basic principle of this sacrifice is that we act to try to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just to please ourselves or some material person. That is the sacrifice on the transcendental platform. On the basis of knowledge, transcendental knowledge, one can understand that I am the eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. That is my natural position. So let me act in terms of that position. Let me serve Krishna. So, acting on the basis of that knowledge, rendering service to Krishna, sacrificing your life, your time, your money, your energy, whatever, sacrificing these things for Krishna, then you get wonderful transcendental result. Now, what is the nature of the transcendental result? First thing is that unlike the material result, which is always temporary, you know, some people, some very wealthy people, are vividly aware of the temporary nature of their wealth and in anxiety about it. You may have heard of J. Paul Getty. He was very famous, perhaps the richest man in the world 30 or 40 years ago. And he lived in a house, which I was in London the other day and I saw that his house was for sale. You know for how much? £25 million. 250 million rands. Anyway, in other words, he was quite a rich man. So rich. But he was so conscious of the temporary nature of his money that he installed a payphone for his guests to use. And it's still in the house. Yes. So it's a fact. Even vast amounts of money, it's all temporary. You know, there's one story, Prabhupada told a story about one sage. And his very extraordinary sage, his entire body was covered with hair, long, long hair all over. So you can imagine, you know, how many hairs were on his body. Many, many. And he had a benediction that he would live for as long as he had hair on his body. Plus, he had part of the benediction was that only one hair would fall out every day of Lord Brahma. That means 8,640,000,000 of our years. In other words, he's going to live for an awfully long period of time. So many hairs, you couldn't say how many. However, of course, it is finite. It's not actually infinite, even though it's very large. So, he had some like followers, assistants, helpers. They were trying to help him, facilitate him. And he was one of these people, he was what we call an avaduta. He just didn't care about anything. He would just sit outside. It was hot, it was cold, it was raining. He would just sit outside and meditate. This is what we call avaduta. Totally oblivious to the material surroundings. So his followers, they were thinking that this saintly person, he is sitting outside and he's exposed to the weather. At least let us build a little hut for him. Something very simple, but at least it'll give him some shelter. So they went to him and said that we are thinking of doing this. Would this be all right? And if it's all right, you know, how would you like it to be? And he said, no, don't worry, don't bother. But they were saying, no, you have to sit there and it's so austere and, you know, so well, let us build something. He said, no, no, don't bother, it's not worth it, because I'm only here temporarily. So, even if you achieve something so great that you live the lifetime of Lord Brahma, 311 trillion of our years, still it's temporary. And in Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, Krishna says, Ah Brahma, Bhuvanal Loka, Puna Aravartana Arjuna, Mam Upechyata Kunteya, Puna Arjanma Na Vidyate. Krishna says that from the highest planet, Ah Brahma, from the planet of Brahma, Bhuvanal Loka, down to the lowest planet, they're all places of misery, where repeated birth and death take place. But Krishna says, Mam Upetya, one who attains to me, to my abode, then Punar Janma Na. That person does not take birth again. Yes. So the result of spiritual sacrifice on the basis of spiritual knowledge is not temporary. It is eternal. And that is reflected in this other verse that I referred to, where Krishna is saying that in this endeavor there's no loss. Even if the progress you make is minimal, you only make little spiritual sacrifice, and you just get little spiritual result. But you'll never lose it, ever. Ever. Even if you turn around in your spiritual life and become totally non-spiritual, and even if you become sort of like antagonistic to spiritual life, you'll still never lose it. It is eternal. That is its nature. And yeah, so like this, Krishna is recommending that we cultivate transcendental knowledge. And then seeing we all have to sacrifice anyway, then why not sacrifice spiritually? It is not that if you sacrifice spiritually that your day-to-day existence is going to become adversely affected. You know, we have many devotees who are maintaining their families and so on, but they're very fully engaged in this type of spiritual sacrifice of rendering service to Krishna, to God. But they are not bankrupt. They're not living on the street. Even, you know, this is our center here, and none of the devotees living here are working in a job. None of them. But still they're living in this house. It's quite a nice house. Yeah. It was very relatively sort of, you know, something like middle to upper middle class house, something like that. But the devotees are living here. Without going to the factory tomorrow. Clocking in. With long faces. And yeah, so one shouldn't be worried that if I take up this process of spiritual sacrifice, rendering service to Krishna instead of rendering service to me and my family like that, but actually rendering service to Krishna, one shouldn't be in anxiety that I'm going to lose everything material. No, it doesn't necessarily have to be like that at all. Not in the slightest. Actually, one's life all round becomes transcendentally auspicious. Actually auspicious in all regards. Yes. So we should try and do like this. Try and at least do some spiritual sacrifice. We are not insisting that you must today give up everything and make some sort of very large-scale, big sacrifice like that. But why don't you try introducing into your life at least a little bit? Give a little time.
maybe once a week or something. Give a little money. Give a little bit of your energy. Something like this. Just give a little. In this process of transcendental sacrifice, of rendering service to Krishna, why don't you do that and see what happens, and then take it from there. Just see what the result is. Yes. The result is eternal, as we said, plus the result is blissful. The result is blissful, unlike, you know, if you're all going to be sort of little Snoopies tomorrow and drag yourselves into the office or the factory. No, the devotees, and you'll see yourself, you'll experience yourself. When you perform this sacrifice for Krishna, when you render devotional service to Krishna, you'll find that you become very happy. Yes, you'll experience that. Even if you're doing something which on the surface may not appear very exciting or challenging or thrilling, or, you know, even if you just do some small thing, like you clean the floor, it's not very difficult or demanding or exciting. But if you do that, even if you're a big successful person, but if you render just some simple little service to Krishna like that, even for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's nothing, then you'll see that you have an experience of spiritual satisfaction and bliss from that. Yes. Coming in a mystical, actually transcendental way, spiritual way, through engaging in service to Krishna. Yes. Prabhupada would say that if you take a piece of iron and put it in fire, in due course of time it becomes fiery. Iron, by nature, is not fiery. But through association, through being engaged like that, connected up with fire, it becomes fiery. So we may be materially conditioned souls now, and not very spiritual now. But if we engage in service to Krishna, if we connect up with Krishna, then we will become Krishnized. Our lives, we will become spiritualized. It's very wonderful, eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. Hare Krishna. So is that okay? Will you do that? Is that all right? No problems? Okay. We'll hold you to it. But you please do it. And we'll be very happy, and you'll be very happy. Okay, now we got quite a few questions here, actually. And we don't want to keep you too long. But let us try and briefly answer at least a few questions. First question here is, this is a little kind of spiritually esoteric question. What is the meaning of Madan Mohan Mohini? Yes, well, that's a Sanskrit term. Madan means Cupid. And Mohan means attractor. So, Madan Mohan means, it's a name of Krishna, means he who is so attractive, he attracts Cupid. Most people are attracted by Cupid. We all know that. Cupid is very influential. But Krishna is so influential that he attracts Cupid. He's so beautiful, actually. In fact, there's a story. Cupid was trying to fire his arrows at Krishna. Yes. In other words, trying to arouse some, you could say, materially lusty type of feelings in Krishna. But Krishna is God. He is transcendence personified. So anyway, Cupid was trying to take aim. But Krishna, he was dancing, he was moving around. And Cupid was struggling to get a good aim. But he was really trying to focus very attentively. And as he focused more and more, it struck him, wow, Krishna's really, he really looks amazing. Wow, Krishna really looks incredible. Wow, Krishna looks... You know, then he fainted and dropped his arrow. So it's a good thing to remain Krishna conscious, because if you're Krishna conscious, like if you chant Hare Krishna always, Krishna is present in that sound. In other words, if you chant Hare Krishna always, Krishna will be with you. And when Cupid comes to try to agitate you with some material type of feelings, then Cupid will see Krishna and faint again. And then you'll be okay. But now what is this then, Madan Mohan Mohini? Mohini is really, it's like a feminine form of Mohan. Yeah. So, and it means attractor. The attractor of the attractor of Cupid. So who is that? That is Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna's eternal consort. Actually, she is Krishna's pleasure potency. She is actually part of Krishna, placed outside of himself, his pleasure potency. It's not exactly that she is another person like that. So, and she is so attractive. She has so much devotion and love and affection for Krishna that Krishna becomes attracted. Even though he's so attractive, he can attract Cupid, who is so attractive that normally he attracts everyone. So Radharani is so attractive, you see. Very amazing person. If we offer foodstuffs prepared by non-devotees, do they, the non-devotees, benefit in any way? Well, you see, there's a problem. If foods are prepared by non-devotees, Krishna may not accept. That's a possibility. Yeah, particularly if they're cooked by people who are not devotees, then, you know, it's not really so good. Krishna, we should actually, food should be cooked by devotees, ideally. Anyway, if somehow you're in a sort of awkward situation and you can't get food cooked by devotees, and, you know, that you need to eat something, then Krishna, of course, he's very, you know, he's very accommodating and sensitive and kind. So, therefore, if you happen to offer something which is technically offerable in terms of the content, and you really, in a prayerful way, humble way, try to offer that to Krishna and ask him to please accept it under the circumstances, he may accept it out of his kindness towards you. But otherwise, as a general rule, you know, Krishna is particularly looking for things which are prepared with devotion. It's not really that Krishna is hungry that he needs your food, but he is hungry for your devotion. Generally, we are directing our devotion in other different places. We're devoted to our work, we're devoted to our country, to our family, to our bank balance, or something like that. So we are holding back our devotion. And Krishna is hungry for that. So generally, please, try and offer things which are prepared by devotees. Who directed Lord Ramachandra to Lanka? This is a very esoteric historical point. It was Hanuman who actually determined that Sita was on Lanka. There was, what's his name? Jatayu. It was Jatayu who fought with Ravana and was mortally wounded by him and found by Ram almost dead, and who said that Ravana was heading in the direction of Lanka. So maybe you could say then Jatayu directed Lord Ramachandra to Lanka, but Hanuman confirmed it. Is this a Buddhist class? Who is Krishna? This is obviously someone amongst us here who's not so familiar with Krishna consciousness. Buddhism, actually, everyone I think is, every adult has heard of Buddhism. But again, I think that very few people understand, even really a little, what is Buddhism actually. Buddhism is a very specific thing. And it's a very kind of an extraordinary thing. Buddhism, the philosophy of Buddhism is, you could say in a nutshell, that nothing exists. That's a fact. Nothing exists. And the idea is, you must realize that. Yeah. They use this term that the ultimate achievement is nirvana. Perhaps you've heard of that. Nir means no. It's not. Vana. Vana means forest. Vana means form, substance.